Today's daf is daf kuftet, and we're holding in the middle of understanding the drushes on the parsha of Nachala that is given at the time that Benot Tzlofchad insists that a daughter should have a Nachala. So we were quite confused by the Seder HaNachalot because there's a very fundamental thing that's missing. Remarkably, the Pasuk never talks about a father at all. And yet, it turns out the way that the Mishnah has defined the Seder HaNachala is the node of Nachala is the father. So in other words, you'll always be going up to a father. If that father isn't there, you're going up to his father. All subsequent Nachalos are coming down from that father. And yet the father himself is not mentioned, Bichlal. So yesterday we decided that it's true that the Parsha is very backwards. And that the word she'ero that comes at the end, im ein achim la'aviv, untatem et nachlato l'she'ero hakarov elav. So from there we learned that she'ero refers to the father. And hakarov elav, that teaches us that karov, kodem, which means that the ben comes before the father. But the given, so to speak, would be, now that I know that the posuk is out of order, the given would be to give it to the father, except that we're told that the karov is kodem, and since we know that the ben is the Karov, which we know only really from the din of Yud. We also know it from other places, but that's only because of the real place that a ben is central, and that is in Yibam. So there he takes the place of his father. So Memela, the Karov Kodem, must refer to a ben. A ben, if a ben exists, then there's no Yibam. So you see that the ben is the closest. Yeah, that was our drusha so far. Now, the problem is that there's a little piece that's missing over here. And that is, it's only true to say that about a bain. But certainly, if the makor of the din is yi'ud, there's no way that a father could be miyayed a woman to his daughter. And so, memela, we're left without our primary drusha when it comes to the bat. So now, asks the Gemara, you're leaving out a very important piece. Asks the Gemara today on the fourth line from the top, why should we not say, as the Gemara, ve'ema, we're right in the middle, so it should say ve'ema, ve'ema she'ero ze'av. Let's take this again. Let me paraphrase how I think you could have set up this bright, and you tell me why this wasn't right. Let's read it like this. She'ero ze'av, melamed she'av kodem libat. That's why I think we should read it. You had this whole drasha, and you took for granted that a'av kodem la'achin is what it's coming to say, but that both ben and bat would come first. I say don't read it like that, because you're agreed that the psukim are out of order anyway, because the she'ero occurs only after im ein achim la'av, v'natatem l'she'ero, which according to the Seder of the Mishnah is absurd. You can't say after the brothers, then we'll give it to the father if the brothers only get it to the father. This is a logic that Gemara is going to talk out very soon. So if it's out of order, how do you know to read it out of order in terms of the brothers being the ones that come after the father? Maybe even the daughter comes after the father, even though it said before that if there's no son, give it to a daughter. But it said also, and if there's no daughter, give it to the uncles. I mean, that's not true. So clearly the posuk is missing somewhere. Where are you going to insert the father? After the daughter or before the daughter? So you proved to me yesterday that we have to insert the father before the son, after the son, because you said a son is always closer, and it says Zakharov Kodeh. But you can't bring that same proof about a daughter, right? Because a daughter, we do not know that there's a din of a daughter buying a steyachuza and it going back to the father, Bishnat Yovel. So we can't learn from there. We can't learn from Yi'ud, because obviously I cannot be miyayed a woman to my daughter. So therefore, I maybe should say that actually She'ero comes before everybody, even before the bat. And now we continue, Yochel Kodem Labein, and now getting back to the way you understood it. No. The bain actually comes before the father, like you said yesterday, Talmud Lomar HaKarov, which teaches us Karov, Karov, Kodem. But how did you just jump over and throw the business of the bat under the carpet? Says the Gemara, because I take for granted that the bat and the bain are similar in this issue from the very point that you found out that the bain is Karov, which is Yibum. Since when it comes to Yibum, there's no difference between a surviving son and a surviving daughter. It's only if there's no surviving Zerah at all that there would be a din of Yibum. So Memela Kivan, the Le'inyin Yibum Ben Ubat Kiyadadininu, Le'inyin Nachal Anami Ben Ubat Kiyadadininu. Since now the entire halakha comes down to the issue of yibum, and there is really, as we pointed out yesterday, fundamental yisod al nachalas and geula and so on. So mamela, there's no difference between the ben and the bat. But hold on a sec. Why don't I need she'ero? Remember, the pasuk never talked about a father, right? So if the pasuk never talked about a father, then I only have one basis to discuss the father, and that is she'ero. It means I'm going to have to insert she'ero somewhere in this order. So you're claiming the place to insert she'ero in this order is before the brothers. You tried to do it before the son, didn't work. Before the daughter, didn't work. Why can't we say that the place of inserting she'ero is only before the Achei Ha'av, but not before the Achei Ha'met? In other words, the case is given in the Mishnah. Son, daughter, brothers of the maid, if he has no brothers, brothers of his father, his uncles, and then she'ero. So we said, okay, she'ero is going somewhere. Where must it go? It must go before his own brothers. So the father will be inheriting before his brothers will inherit him. How do you know to do that? There was one other case. You had to jump up to the second note, which is, if there are no brothers to the deceased, now give it to the brothers of the father. And you're saying that, well, she'ero, even though it's only one indication, allowed us to jump to the closest. Right after bat comes she'ero, then comes the Achei Ha'met. How do you know to do that? Say, right after the son, daughter, comes the brothers of the deceased, and then insert she'ero before the brothers of the father, which are the uncles of the deceased, right? Not the brothers of the deceased. How do you know where to put the she'ero? So let me set up the braita for you, okay? Let's read the braita like this. Ve'ema she'ero za'av, which teaches us the smallest chiddush. Namely, sha'av kodem la'chia'av. Okay? And then continue with my paraphrasing of the braita. Yocho yagdim la'achim, maybe he should even come before the Achei Ha'met. No, that's not true. Because the Talmud lomar ha'karov. Karov, karov, kodem. You see? So you've jumped two leaps, basically, from one pasuk, she'ero, which anyway you know is not in the right place. So how do you know where to put it? You should only be able to take the minimum information, put it only before the last possible case. The last possible case was the Achei Ha'av. So before Achei Ha'av comes the Av, fine. But I don't understand how you have a right to go two places. Says the Gemara, no, because Achei Ha'av lo tzrich lekroi. Why would I need to add she'ero to tell me that the father comes before the brothers of the father? I mean, how in the world would you think that the brothers of the father would have any connection to this mate? It's ridiculous. The only way they could have connection to him was through the father. Otherwise, I mean, he would, what? My uncle? Who's that? Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about him. He's got no connection to these uncles. So why would I think that the poter is saying to give it to the uncles if it wasn't going through the node of the father? So obviously it's going to go now, Mikayach, the father himself. I don't need she'ero to put me ahead of them. I'd only need she'ero to put me ahead of his own brothers. Because there I would say, maybe indeed, we take a look at those who share his genes, right? Okay, so he's got brothers. They're the same as him. If he can't handle it, give it to his brothers. Isn't that what Yibam is all about? That the brothers take the place of the mate. Okay, fine. So if that's the case, they take the place of the mate in Nachala. And they actually do sometimes. If the Ach is performing Yibam, he actually takes the Nachala of the mate. So Mamela, I don't need a Pasuk. If that's the case, the only meaning of the Pasuk is to put him before the Achei Ha'met. Otherwise, we could have just left out She'ero. Says the Gemara, okay, I understand, but I mean, this certainly contradicts the simple meaning of the Pasuk, you know? We've pointed out that anyway, we're contradicting the simple meaning of the Pasuk. So it's just the Gemara hasn't gotten around to asking this question. Asks the Gemara, you're saying that the father comes before the Achei Ha'av, and that's a given, but L'maisa de She'ero comes after all of those other cases. So the Pasuk doesn't say that. V'akroi lo k'tive, lo avachi k'tive. In the Pasuk it says, v'im ein achim la'aviv, venu netatem et nachlato de She'ero. And you're claiming that the She'ero is two steps before, actually. So how did you explain that? Because, obviously, the Kroy or Shaloka Sidron K'tive, I mean, we already proved, forget about the word, okay? You tell me. The Pasuk left out the father. You yourself just agreed with me. Well, there's no way that we would give it to the brothers of the Father if it wasn't that the Father was closer and they were coming through him. So anyway, you've agreed that any mention of a father in this list is out of order, because, I mean, it's completely irrational to say it any other way. Okay, so once you've understood that, now we're back to trying to figure out where we take this peg and place it. That's all. So therefore, what I showed you is true. It's clear that Kroi shalo kisidran k'tivin. So the psukim are clearly written out of order. Okay, so this is one approach. So what we could say is, very fascinatingly, we could say the very kasha that we had on the Mishnah, which is, why would we start off with a father inheriting the son? And we came, because we don't want to do that, because it's, why would we matchil b'puranuta, right? That was our question. To us, that's a theory. That the piece that is missing is the father being Yoresh's child. That's what's missing in this story. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is writing this, so to speak, who's talking to Benot Zofchad, it's not a theory, it's an embarrassment. In other words, in a correctly run world, you know, fathers wouldn't be inheriting children. So he certainly doesn't want to talk about that up front. Let's not talk about the bad parts. Let's talk about the good parts. It's not all that bad. It's true, people die and so on, but you know, there are heirs. So that's Parshat HaNachalot. But, I mean, to mention in the context of the Parsha of the Nachalot, let's start with the top. The father inherits his son. Ugh. So we leave that out. Okay. So now, it's very interesting because we actually find Psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embarrassed to say. This is amazing, because I'll say it's embarrassed. The story of Aaron. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he says, I need your help. Fantastic Medrash. I need your help. Yeah. You got to talk to Aaron. I'm too embarrassed to tell him he's got a daughter. So can you explain it to Aaron? And then we can work this out. I can't do it. It's amazing. So when it comes to Parshim Nachalot Dafka, the question of a son dying, a father dying, so Alach is Kama Vakama, when it's outside of the normal Seder, okay, so we leave it out. The question we had about the Mishnah is really an introduction to the vision of the Parsha as given in Seder HaNachalot. It leaves out the most important note. But once again, let us review what we know, because we're about to take a completely opposite tack to deriving the same information. What we know is that the Pasuk says, if a father has no son, give his Nachla to a daughter. If there's no daughter, give the Nachla to the brothers. If there's no brothers, give the Nachla to the uncles. If there's no uncle, then give it to the relative who is closest. All right? We understood that it's clear that somebody is missing from this little story. The Av is missing. We showed that it's only reasonable that an Av is missing. I mean, why would the uncles get it? So where is the Torah indeed telling us about the father? With the word She'ero. If he's telling us the word She'ero, then we don't have to insert the word She'ero in what we would have known rationally. We'll insert the word She'ero one step beyond to put the father before the brothers of the deceased. And now we know that Lamaisa, the brothers of the deceased, are receiving only through the father. But we've proven that it can't mean to insert the father before the son or the daughter. And therefore, we read the pasuk. A man dies, he has no son. Give it to his daughter. Correct. There's no daughter. Give it to his brothers. Well, not really. Give it to his brothers after seeing if he has a surviving father. And that's how we understand now the pasuk. Now there's another Tana who takes a completely different tact. And according to this Tana, the issue of the father is bichlal, not an issue. In other words, I don't need to mention the father. The reason I don't need to mention the father is, as we're all agreed, there's a kal v'chomer that the father is in this story. He's got to at least get there before the brothers of the father, right? Once I know that he's missing from the story, then the whole story takes on a very, very different look. And I'll tell you why. One word. If we read that opening pasuk, Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tadaber le'emor, Ish ki'amut u'ben ein lo, ve'ha'avartem et nachalato levito. What do you mean by saying ve'ha'avartem? Every other pasuk says unetatem. Imein lo bat, unetatem. Imein lo achim, unetatem. Imein achim, unetatem. Ve'ha'avartem implies what? Pass over somebody. Who are you passing over? Now, we know there's a missing person in the story. Aha! That explains who you're passing over. So like this, you would say, well, I mean, but logically, we can only prove that he would come before his brothers, the father. But how do we know that he comes before the brothers of the... I'll tell you how I know. It says, v'havartem, which means somebody's being pushed out of the way. And that somebody is apparently the father. This is without taking any word she'ero to mean the father at all. Instead, as we'll see, we're going to use she'ero to imply what it always does, shared flesh, which is always a woman, which goes back to your wife. So this is a completely different approach. Et zo darash Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yosef. Ish ki amut ubein ein lo. And then it says, ve'ha'avartem, which means, v'makom bat, ata ma'avir, nachala mina av. If there is a daughter, and only if there's a daughter, then, lebito, then you're ma'avir the nachla away from the father. But in no other case would you be ma'avir a nachla from a father. So that, i'ata ma'avir nachala mina av, let's say, by putting the brothers first. Oh, no. It's only imein lo bat, then v'ha'avartem. But if there's brothers, we're not going to be ma'avir from the father. The father will belong right where we thought he should be. First, before the brothers. So, i'ata ma'avir nachala mina av, if there's achim. Now, the Gemara initially does not understand the clarity of the diak being from the word v'ha'avartem. The Gemara thought that what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi is saying is that you see from here that we're going to put in the father somewhere. So therefore, b'mokom bat ata ma'avir nachala av, but you're not ma'avir nachala av b'mokom achim. But if that's the case, basically what you're saying is that there's someone that's supposed to come, the father's supposed to come earlier, but there's no real specific mention or word that refers to the father. So if that's the case, you're ready to insert the father somewhere. Maybe insert him even before the daughter. Say, b'mokom bat ata ma'avir nachala b'mokom, because we think that the word ma'avir is get it there first. So when the daughter is there, that's when you will not give it to the brothers who would normally have come. They're going to lose out because you're going to give it to the bat. But maybe the daughter actually belongs there, but only if there was no father. But you'll never put someone like a daughter before the father. So maybe we should put the father even ahead of the daughter, because it's not clear that the pasuk is saying where to put the father. And the truth is, as Tosafot said, we could just as easily have said, if we're not talking about a specific placement, we could have said that maybe where there's a daughter, you're ma'avir nachala min ha'achin, but you will not be ma'avir nachala min ha'achin if there's a father, meaning that the father should come after the brothers. Okay, but because we seem to be assuming over here the father's closer, we took this approach. But again, this misses the whole point. Says the Gemara, you don't understand. The idea over here is the beautiful diak is from the word v'ha'avartem. If you're telling me v'ha'avartem nachalato, specifically levito, that means that it's right there where someone is being skipped, and the someone is the someone that we've known is hiding out there right beneath the lines, and that's the father. So that means in that place, where it is that we are being ma'avir, to the daughter, that is the place that the father's losing out, and where he would have been if the daughter hadn't been there. So therefore it teaches us the ben of the deceased is first, the bat of the deceased is second, and the av of the deceased is third. Because im kein, lo dichtov rachamana mi'avartem. There's no point to write the word v'ha'avartem at all. If you're talking about just giving, and you're guessing where to put in the av, of course, you're right, 100%, put him in anywhere. My diak is so beautiful, you didn't hear what I was saying. That's the word, v'ha'avartem, and therefore that is the place, right where it belongs. V'ha'avartem at all, right? That's just a ridiculous phrase. Use the same phrase that you're saying in the rest of the psukim. Unetatem, unetatem, here's the order. If you're telling me v'ha'avartem, it means there's an invisible person that really ought to be there that's being skipped. So who is that? We know there's only one invisible person, and that's the Father. We know that he's invisible because we've already proved that he exists from the fact that his brothers, the uncles of the deceased, are going to be your age, which only makes sense if he's going to be your age, the deceased. Otherwise, how in the world do these characters get in there? You might as well give it to the wildlife fund. Well, what does that have to do with the deceased? It must be that it's going through his father, the deceased father, right? So now, if I find this strange word in a particular place, it means, oh, that's the place that the invisible man was meant to be inserted, and the Torah is saying, skip him. It's a brilliant, brilliant deduction from the structure of the pasuk, right? So now we have two completely different approaches. Our Tana holds, we need to prove the existence of the Father. Because if I don't prove the existence of the Father, I look at the pasuk and I say, look, it's true rationally, it makes sense that the uncles should be there if there is a Father, and not if there's not, but you never know. I mean, the Torah doesn't even talk about the Father. Once I know the Torah does talk about the Father, it mentions Sheiro, So now I say to myself, well, it doesn't make sense to say the Sheiro is there to tell me that the reason that the brothers are getting are because of the father. I mean, if there's a father, obviously that's the reason. So where would I put the Sheiro? I can only put him in the lowest position that I have information for, because tafasta meruba lo tafasta. And I've already shown that the karov certainly includes son, the daughter, that I've shown. So there's only one place to put him. He doesn't need to be put before his own brothers. So the place where he goes is before the brothers of the deceased. Which shows me now, oh, you mean the whole nakla is really working by using the father as a node and to then go down. Okay, that's one approach. The other approach takes exactly the opposite position. So it's based on the Kal Vachomer in the Sifri that, look, obviously there's got to be a father. That's a given. There's no way for us to ignore the fact that a father would get before the uncle of the deceased, because the uncle's related to him only because of the father. Okay? So that's a given. Where exactly does this given first appear? That we don't know. So if we look carefully at the language, and we see that of all of the cases in which we repeat again and again and again, all of a sudden there's one place where it says, skip over somebody. I mean, it might as well be hitting you over the head that that's who it's referring to, because it's the only one that's being skipped. Instead of just, you don't say skipped when you're coming to tell me the hierarchy in the first place. What do you mean skip? Just tell me. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm a skipping. So it must be that there's somebody I'm not talking about. Who is that? The father. Which tells me that as long as there's no daughter, it went back to the father, and from there it went to the brothers of the deceased. So this Tana learns it out from the very fact that it's missing, and we use the word vavartem. Brilliantly different approaches, right? Stunning. So one takes for granted the father. Now we only need to look for the remez as to where he was skipped. The other says, well, you never know. I mean, maybe the Torah is giving you this genetic vision in which you have this prejudice that Nachla goes through people. Maybe it doesn't go through people. Maybe God awards it to the ones that are his vision of genetically parallel. No, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Therefore, I need to find a remez in the Torah to the father, which is Sheiro. Now, that means that we're going to have two different needs to address. Because if you're learning out of from Vahavartem, then you don't need Sheiro. So what is Sheiro all about? And if you're learning out from Sheiro, the Vahavartem is meaningless. So why do I need the Vahavartem? This is now the next question. Ask the Gemara, as we always do when we have completely alternative visions of Limud. How does the other one understand the other one's Limud? So Laman the Nafkalami Vahavartem, how does he learn the word L'Sheiro? He learns the Sheiro Mibayla L'Kiritanya. Sheiro is Zo Ishto. Remember, we said that the vision that's given in the Pasuk is entirely nodal. Go up, go down. There's no room for anybody being in the middle because of marriage. So where indeed is the place where we're told that marriage violates this neat little picture? Sheiro. And you always, Sheiro is always referring to a woman. So Sheiro Zo Ishto. Malamed Sha'ba'al Yoresh Et Ishto. That's nice. So if you learn out from She'ero that it's the father, what do you do with the word Vahavartem? Vahavartem? You'll never guess what I do with that word. Think of the context and you'll figure it out. The context is Benot Zlofchad. Benot Zlofchad is all about the problem of a Nachala leaving the Shevet, which is Vahavartem. Oh boy. Comes along the Pasuk therefore to tell me there'd never be a way to be mavir a nachala, unless you're giving it to a woman. Now, how would a woman be mavir a nachala? I'll tell you. She gets married. So that teaches me, the thing that teaches you, the father, actually, it's all inverted. You're learning from my father, the wife, and I'm learning from your vahavartam, the wife, you see. That's really beautiful. And the fact is, I got another little thing on you. Because from my vahavartam, I can learn that a woman becomes an alternate node. So what if that woman has a son? Does she, what's the relationship of her death to that son? The woman died. That's the problem. That's always the problem, is the woman's death. The woman's death leaves her son going somewhere else, not back to her father, which is what we'd like to see, but we know that that doesn't come first. So this now must be to somebody else in the way. The in the way is the missing picture. The missing picture is her child, her husband. That's the missing picture. Okay? There's a, by definition, this child is going to be from a different Shevet than she is if she marries out of Shevet, because the child's identification is through the father. And the husband, if she married out of Shevet, by definition, obviously, is means that the field's going to go out and shave it. So therefore, it's coming to teach me, Lekiritanya, Rabbi Omer, note how carefully the Torah uses the word nitina. Bikulam ne'emar nitina, right? Every single case, here it says, va'avarta at nachlato. Why? Kan ne'emar ben ha'avara. I'll tell you why. She'ein lecha, she'ma'avir nachala, mi'shevet le'shevet. Elabat. The problem over here is that if now she dies, the children are going to inherit her. And therefore, we got real serious issues over here. So that the daughter can inherit her father, now she's got fields that are part of the Nachala of the Shevet. And this means the Vahavartem Nachala is going to go to either her husband, to the son of that husband, or both obviously from the same Shevet. And this teaches me that the husband or the son, where there's no husband, will be Yoresh, this woman, either as a wife or as a mother. Now, obviously, we don't know, according to the Tana, our first Tana, we don't know how he knows that a son will be Yoresh, the mother. Mm-hmm. Because according to him, She'ero is only one. So, I mean, how does he know She'ero means that the son inherits a mother? She'ero tells me that the Baal inherits the wife. Okay, we'll see later on that there is an alternative to this limud. But in any event, we see clearly where everybody's coming from. The very starting point of the presence of the father is the difference in the understanding of the entire Parshas Hanachalos.
Where does the wife come in? If the man dies, it goes to the sons or the daughters or the brothers.
She doesn't come in. She only comes in when she dies.
Only when she dies. So she can't inherit from
correct.
The husband.
She will not inherit anybody. The only time she'll inherit is when a morish of hers, her father, died without having any other yorshim. And, of course, that doesn't mean her father died necessarily leaving her his money. Her father died 50 years ago, and now he is still going to be giving her now a new inheritance. Why? Because his other son died, and she's the only surviving daughter. So she's still inheriting her father 50 years after his death. But it'll always be an inheritance from the node. So since she inherits from the node, that's the only case where there's no one else that would come out of that node except her. A childless couple, the husband dies, his father inherits his money. Oh, did his father have any other sons? No, okay, then his grandfather inherits his money. No, this is the Seder Anachlos. It always goes up, as we saw, through the fathers. Now, why this is true, why can't She'ero also mean a relative to a mother? Because you're assuming She'ero is only, this we're going to get to now. This we have to define how we know that it's all fathers now that we've introduced the woman, right? Says the Gemara, you say that the She'er, starting with Artana, that's where we started from, that the She'er is a reference to the father. So She'ero is Av. I mean, I assume that it's because that when it comes to the Parsha of Gilui Arayot, of a sister, so it says, Ervat achot avicha lo tegale She'er avicha, right? Problem is, it says exactly the same thing about She'er imcha. Why not say She'ero refers to a mother? I mean, you're already introduced now a wife. So now how do I know that we shouldn't introduce women in general over here? I mean, you talked about the bat, you talked about the wife, and you've got this whole misogynist approach, which is everything's got to be referring to the men. Maybe indeed it's not referring to the men. Doesn't it say, Ervat achot imcha lo tegale ki she'er imcha? So how do you know she'er cha is not referring to your auntie? Omar Rava, no, that you're right. I would not have known that from she'er. I only know that from the extra word, l'she'ero akarov alav min mishpachto. And the word mishpachto is constant, a refrain throughout the Torah, mishpachotam levet avotam. And therefore, it must be that min mishpachto v'yarashota teaches us that mishpachat av kriya mishpacha, mishpachat em eina kriya mishpacha, as we see, l'mishpachotam levet avotam. And therefore, we're limiting the connection of She'ero HaKarov Alav to Mishpachto. And how can you say Mishpachto Eina Kruya Mishpacha? It comes from the Eim. Mishpachat Eim Eina Kruya Mishpacha? We've got a fantastic example of precisely a place where Mishpachat Eim is the one that's called Mishpacha. Look at this. V'aktiv. V'yi na'ar mi beit lechem Yehuda, mi mishpachat Yehuda, v'hu Levi. Now, how do you explain that? How could somebody be? This, of course, is the Pesel Micha issue, right? Wild story.
Which one is it?
We're going to hit, but just to give you the background, to remind you, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, who is now chosen to lead the Pesel Micha services in the Pesel Micha church. And now he's taken by B'nai Dan because he seems to be such a good priest that they'd like to have him for their own place. So they drag him away from poor old Micha, who's left crying and crying, and here Moshe Rabbeinu's own grandson has left him. This is an unbelievable story, which of course goes all the way back to Parshas Shemos, in which Moshe Rabbeinu is furious. Hatzelo itzalta atamecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, okay, let's try it your way. Why don't you pull out a kid that you're complaining about? Pull out a kid from the gas chamber, and you save him, and let's watch what happens to him. So this kid is Micha, ends up being the source of Pesel Micha that destroys that Atzeres HaShvatim and so on. And Mina, Moshe Rabbeinu's own grandson, ends up becoming now the priest in Micha's church.
No,
Yiddish. Okay. Not very much Yiddish Anachas, although remember that his grandson is insistent that it was his grandfather Moshe who told him that it's much better to work in a church than to sit in a kollel, and therefore, that's what he said. He said, my grandfather told me. It's better to work in a church, you know. And they said to him, no, he didn't mean that. He meant it's better to be a gas station attendant. He didn't mean to work in a church. To do a some kind of work, even if it doesn't make sense, rather than to be Seymech on Tzedakah. That's all that it was saying. Okay, but it's an amazing story, absolutely amazing story. So how does this story work? So it starts off with the description of this boy from Beit Lechem, Yehudah, who's from a Yehuda family, and who happens to be a Levi. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. Aguf Akasha. First you say Vehu Levi. So clearly he must come from Shevet Levi. I mean, he can't be a Levi if he doesn't come from Shevet Levi. And then you say, but he's from a Yehuda family. But, so that means he comes from Yehuda. The only possible explanation, I think, is that his father comes from Levi, because if his mother came from Levi, it wouldn't make him a Levi. So his father comes from Levi, and nonetheless, his mother's family is from Yehuda. And we're calling that from a Yehuda family. So you see that people do use the word, the Torah uses the word mishpacha to refer to the mother's family, not to the father's family. Omar Rava Bar Rav Chana, and it doesn't mean he's a Levi. It means, you know, he's Levi, like Barnea Levi Selavan. His name is Levi, that's all it means. So Dishmei Levi. See, he's Levi. It doesn't mean he is a Levi. Who Levi? You know, the famous guy, Levi, the one who gives the tours. But it's for Pesel Micha in this case. Yeah, exactly. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. What do you mean he's Levi? That doesn't explain the following. So Micha is so happy when he gets to hire this guy. And Micha says, wow, this is an unbelievable hashkocha. Ata yadati ki yitiv Hashem li ki hayali ha-Levi la-Kohen. Look at this. I got myself a real live Levi to be my Kohen in my church. So that means that God truly approves of this idea. How else would I have gotten a Levi? So how could you say this? Yeah, no, all it means, look, all he's saying is this not an amazing hashgacha? I couldn't find a real Levi, but God sent me a kid with the name of Levi, which shows, I mean, once you're talking about those kind of hashgachas, you know you're talking about Avodah Zarah, right? You know, this is some kind of meshugana. So, okay, so if God, exactly, kosher stuff. So if God sends me a boy named Levi, that would be a perfect Kohen. You know, just one step removed. So yes, he's saying these Ramile Gavra Dishmei Levi. I got a boy by the name of Levi. That shows that this is it. Wait a minute, but the Torah gives us his name, and his name elsewhere is certainly not Levi. We can trace this whole story very clearly. And in Shoftim itself, it says the Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe. Who uvanav ayu kohanim leShevet Hadani. And this was the story about Shevet Dan, that they heard this kid's voice, they recognize him right away, they take him, and it says his name is Yonatan ben Gershom. You remember Gershom? Moshe's son Gershom? So that is, of course, it doesn't make sense to call him ben Menashe. So, but if you look carefully at the Pasuk, the Nun is actually hanging. It's above the line, which we'll see is Tola HaKatuv. So it's really, if you take out that Nun, it's Moshe, right? So it's Yonatan ben Gershom ben Moshe, really, as we'll see. So how can you say his name is Levi? No, that bothers you. Well, the Taimich is not really a son of Menashe, is he? I mean, Gershom has got to be a son of Moshe. Because it says, B'nei Gershom, B'nei Moshe, Gershom Eliezer. Elamitok sha'asa ma'aseh Menashe. The point over here is we're calling him Menashe because he acted like Menashe. So therefore, tal olakatuv b'menasheh. Now, if that's the case, you might as well explain the whole problem of Mishpachat Yehuda as being, in essence, the same thing as calling his father Menasheh. Because who is Menasheh? The king of Yehuda that was so worshipping Avodah Zorah, and he becomes now a model for the worship of Avodah Zorah. So maybe that's the whole point. You see this Levi? Boy, was he screwed up. Why? Because he was Mishpachat Yehuda, the same way that he was like his father Menasheh. Wasn't really Menasheh. Well, he wasn't really Yehuda either. So the whole thing is basically just describing his spiritual inheritance, which certainly doesn't come from Moshe directly, and therefore must come from Yehuda, who makes all these problems anyway. Because the kings that worship Avodah Zorah, they were from Yehuda.
So not that
they probably couldn't bring themselves to write Moshe, you know,
I'll be the Nevi'ah. So mitok shasam hasem en asher da'atim Yehuda tila'o. Notice tila'o b'lan nun is totally. So tila'o hakatu b'Yehuda. Om Reb Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai. You see from here an amazing lesson. That mikan she'tolin et ha'kalkala b'mikulkal. Basically, what this means is that you have a concept of a spiritual heir. And that we can refer to your father as being your spiritual father. So if somebody acts like Menasheh, that's his father. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, I can show that to you more beautifully than that. Take a look at this. This is a killer. V'gam hu tov toar me'od v'oto yalda acharei Avshalom. So now, we're talking about Adoniyahu ben Chagid, who is very good looking, and who was born, Yalda, his mother had him after having Avshalom. There's only one minor problem. Avshalom's mother and Adoniyahu's mother had nothing in common. So what do you mean? She gave birth to him after? That's crazy. Hello, Adoniyahu is ben Chagid, and Avshalom is ben Ma'acha. Now, can you tell me what that's supposed to mean? Elam itok sha'asa ma'aseh Avshalom, demarad b'malchut. Obviously, the Pasuk is giving us the names of all of his brothers and sisters. The Pasuk is saying, well, we just got through all of this garbage with Avshalom. So after Avshalom comes this other no good son, as if this is the spiritual heir. And he went and did the same thing. So because of that, tila'o akatub Avshalom. So again, you see that more than the genetic inheritance that the Pasuk is referring to, it's referring to your soul's inheritance. What path in life are you inheriting? Omar Rabbi Elazar, you know what this teaches you is that la'olam yidbak adam betovim. It's always a good idea to marry into a good family. Because Moshe married into this lousy family. He went ahead and married Bat Yitro. So who does he get? His grandson is Yonatan.
But was it a lousy family?
It means that, not lousy, it means it was a family that didn't have a history of Yichus. It was one person that had done all this achievement. Now, since we're talking over here about the idea of spiritual inheritance, so now we're getting nervous. So, Yotza Mimenu Yonatan, where's Aharon, Shenasa Bat Aminadav? Wow, I mean, he gets Pinchas. What do you mean he gets Pinchas? But Pinchas is from Yitro. Now you really got me confused. Pinchas love me Yitro? What? I thought, doesn't it say, Elazar ben Aharon lakachlo b'not putiel lo le'isha? Now, b'not putiel. It's got to be a reference. My love, the Ati Mitro, Shipitei Magalim Lavadazara. The only reference, I mean, there's no person called Putiel, unless it's a reference to the Benot Putiel, who was Mefatei Magalot. That's what we call him. He was a famous priest. So, okay, that means that Pinchas himself and Elazar himself, you're saying, no, I mean, they came from Aminadab. That's a grandfather, a great-grandfather. This is the grandfather. The grandfather is Yitro. So, I mean, you see, obviously, it wasn't a bad idea to have Yitro as a father. No, it doesn't mean it means from Yitro. It means he comes from Yosef. And the word Putiel is referring to the one who was paid to be Yitro, who keeps fighting off his Yetzer Hara. That's what it's referring to. Excuse me, but take a look at the context. I mean, we know the famous Medrash that Pinchas needed God's Gushpanka for what he had done because everybody said, who the heck are you? You, after all, come from Puti. So they said, and that's why we reference him, Dimrod Putiel, because they would say, Ra'item ben Putize, this plut, ben Shepitem avim o'agalim lavadazara. Here is a guy who comes from a grandfather who is busy fattening up animals for the church. Ya'arog nasi shevet mi Yisrael. This guy is the chutzpah to kill the nasi shevet Shimon. So obviously it's not true to say that Putiel is a reference to Yosef. They're not going to be Mavazim for coming from Yosef. Ella, okay, you're right. You're right. He did come from Yitro. It's true. But not from the daughters of Yitro, to make Yitro the grandfather. Actually, because he also needed to come from Yosef. It has to come from both, as we'll see. If it came from both, it's got to be a great-grandfather, in which case, we could still be right in saying that Aminadav gives you the keach of the Yichus, and he was not closer to Yitro. So therefore, either it was Avuadi Imei mi Yosef. If you're going to tell me that his maternal grandfather was from Yosef, then his maternal grandmother was from Yitro. If Avuadi Imei mi Yitro, if his maternal grandfather was from Yitro, then his maternal grandmother was from Yosef. It's one or the other, but it's true that he shares a relationship to both elements of Putiel. And you can see that in the pasuk. Take a name. Dechtiv mi benot Putiel. Why are we mentioning the benot? All we need to say is bat Putiel. So benot Putiel is bash. We're talking about two Putiel daughters, which must mean a daughter of Yitro, a daughter of the other Putiel, which is Yosef. So that means that either her father or her mother, they were, one of them was from Yosef, one of them was from the Yitro. But it's still, we're talking about a couple generations ago. And therefore, we could still bring our raya about Aminadav. So you're saying, no, Tarte? Shema Aminadav. From there you see that indeed it was only a great-grandfather.